Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into the story behind an e-commerce business and why it's important to understand how to build a community to drive some sales. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you?
Hey Mark, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Today, we wanted to talk about, I guess, it's not really the intangibles, but it's like the community and the story around the e-commerce shop. So a lot of the podcasts we've talked about, you know, direct response marketing and, you know, putting the products up there and doing offers and all that kind of stuff. And then, but obviously there's a massive part of the reason why people buy from a lot of brands is they've bought into the story or the person behind the brand or the team behind the brand or the ethos of the brand. So I wanted to cover that a bit because I think we haven't really covered much around that so far. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the KPIs that we talk about are still vitally important. You know, add to basket, basket checkout, checkout to order, average order value. Those things are really, really key. They're the fundamental maths. But there's something that is becoming more and more prevalent in the importance of e-commerce, and it's the intangibles, because it's the story and the feeling and the embodiment of the brand of that you're buying from, and it's about identifying yourself, and I was just before we started recording the podcast, literally we were just talking about it, and I was saying that I could feel it happening. And there was something that happened this weekend with Zoe, my partner. She's looking at we're moving house, and she's looking at storage solutions, and but she's watching the Netflix documentaries about these interior designers who are coming up with this really innovative way of storing their things around the house, really cool, clever storage devices, and then so she's following all these different people on Instagram and Pinterest, and she's like consuming their stuff. Like, she's not going into Google and googling storage boxes, she's not going onto Amazon and googling, you know, searching for it. She's following them on Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest, and she's just in there in that world. And as she's flipping through her phone on Facebook and Instagram, you know, she's part of that world. You know, she's following these people, these celebrities within that niche, and she's identifying, she loves it. And so she's wow, and that's what's happening. So she's in their world by being a follower, and it's very, very different to going into Google and searching for box and then looking at what's coming up in Google Shopping and then going and looking at, you know, analyzing the competition. You know, yeah, I'll have that one from that one. You know, it's like a closed little area, isn't it? It's like, it's almost like a direct response, you know, marketing, you know, message that comes through your door. And it's like how you do that, because you can't just go and create an Instagram or a Facebook or a Twitter account and go, all right, there's our stuff. It's about being, identifying and getting, you know, what's the personality behind the brand and the job to be done. And it's becoming like the most important thing, isn't it? Or one of the most important things in terms of growing your e-commerce brand.
Well, if you look at the extreme example of it, if you think of an artist who's selling a very high end piece of art, maybe for like, you know, 20,000, 30,000 pounds, something like that, then, you know, that's the extreme example of that, in that that the art, really, if you look at the piece of art, which is, you know, some canvas and some paint, it's all about the brand and it's all about the story of the artist that really people are buying into. And then other people are buying into that with like a network effect. And so what you need to be doing for your e-commerce site, I mean, you know, like there's always going to be this, the flip side of it. So if you're on Google Shop and you're selling the low end storage boxes, those ones are always going to be ones that are very functional, you know, rational purchase to spot buy. But if you're selling something that, you know, you're asking people to pay a little bit more for, and you're, you know, you design it, you're essentially the artist behind the brand. And so therefore you need to build a platform to sell from. And the annoying thing about platforms is that, you know, we all want to get started, we all want to get loads of sales straight away, but platforms take time to grow. And it's the reason that some people do well is because of the longevity of them creating those platforms. Like, you know, so many people have started a blog only to give up 3 weeks later. So many people have started podcasts only to give up, you know, 2 weeks later, decided it's too hard. Same thing with YouTube channels. It's it's like it is. It's something, and the reason.
Well, you know what?
For it's, that, you know, we, go on. So well, I was just going to say the reason
about. Well, you. I'm going to talk now. You give me the opportunity. Right, you go. So I say, you know, obviously, you know, we talk a lot about the maths behind e-commerce, and you know, they're fundamentally right. But what this manifests itself is it's traffic, but it's conversion rate. Because what you'll find is by the time if you get it right. The convert, and you know, there's a phrase that you'll sometimes read in e-commerce that talks about the sale is done before they've got to the website. And what it means by that is that you've done all the warming up, you've answered the anxieties, you've figured out the credibility, the trust before they've got to their product page, because you've done that within the platforms of Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and by the time they get to the site, you know, they've made their mind up. They want to buy from you. And, you know, and that's and so the stats you'll see is it traffic and conversion. It is, isn't it?
Well, if you think about it, it's a bit like the old, you know, we used to work in catalog businesses, you know, five, 8 years ago. You know, the websites were always just order takers.
And you'd see the conversion rate. When a brochure landed, the conversion rate would go up to 9, 10%.
Yeah, it was huge.
So it had nothing to do with the website, was it? It wasn't their, you know, their ad to basket button was above the fold, or their, you know, their product page was not a dead end page. It was because the sale was happening before they'd arrived. You know, they knew that's what they wanted. It was an order taker. Yeah, and that's the modern day equivalent of a big a brochure drop is warming them up through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. Mainly Instagram. I mean, that's the thing that's really becoming more and more prevalent, isn't it?
So then it comes down to, I mean, just at the simplest point of view, like on the About Us page and the website, the first thing is to show that people are buying from a team of people or a family of people or people and who those people are. A lot of people come onto my coaching group and they go, and I say, one of the first questions I ask them is, you know, why do people buy from you? And they often say, oh, it's because we're a family business and we care after our customers. And you go to the website and you see that there's no, you know, people would have to guess that. They can't see that it's a family business. There's no pictures of them on the website. There's no, you know, there's no reality of it. And so that's the first step is to kind of put your personality and the people that people are buying from the website so people can see that. Then the next step is to create a story. So create this. People are interested in founder stories. They're interested in why you came to be doing this. You know, that, you know, I bet you that 90% of people that start, you know, their own e-commerce businesses don't do it just because they want to get money and do rich. They do it because they're interested in something or something happened in their life that actually brought them to, you know, become an interior designer, home decor store, or selling menswear or selling clothing or something. You know, it was, and that story is interesting. And you can get better at writing stories. And you see these very, very popular celebrities, really fundamentally the ones that can kind of go out on stage and talk in front of people, that they have the story that they've honed. And if you watch them at different events, they tell the same story over and over again, because they know that that story is interesting, and it brings people in, and people think, oh, they like me, and you know, it works. I mean, the best example of that is the weight loss industry. You know, if you see someone who's big in the weight loss, they'll be, oh, well, I was this size and I lost weight and I did this and blah blah blah, and that's the story that they've experienced and created.
It's part of the brand. It's part of the brand. You just said the word, you know, the personality and the story behind it is part of the brand. And you know, you're seeing a lot of the you know, e-commerce businesses now bringing out the founders a lot more, you know, because you know, it's no longer about this big massive conglomerate that's the biggest this. It's about the personality of the founders. And you look at businesses like is it Boll & Branch? You know, was it Brooklinen? One of the two, I forget which one it was. I think it's Boll & Branch, actually. You know, they're like $100 million online business selling sheets and towels and things. And but you look at that, and it's all about the founders and the people that set it up and their mission and how, you know, and it's like a huge business, but they're still very much talking about the two people that set it up. Because it's part, because people can identify with it, and it's a way of getting the message across in a really nice way, you can't just go and whack up an Instagram page and think, oh, there's our community, done, tick the box, done Instagram. You have to first start with understanding the job to be done, you know, why you exist. You've got to really, really start to understand the customer. You know, what they're worried about, what their dreams are, what their hopes are. And obviously, if it's a problem solving product, you agitate the problems and the pain. And if it's an emotional one, you push the lifestyle and emotional elements, you increase the desirability. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that whole thing, like, that's why the White Company has been successful, because they've understood that job to be done. It wasn't selling a candle, it was selling a beautiful, you know, romantic, cozy room. And that is what needs to be in your platforms around you. You know, the job to be done needs to be there.
Yeah. So you kind of like start with the personality, you start with the people, then you start with the about us and the story. And then you kind of go, this is my story. And now this is my mission. And my mission just happens to be the same mission that you're trying to achieve with your job to be done. So, you know, let's take someone who just sells garage floor paint, and his mission, the business, is now to make the most awesome garage that you can make. So therefore, and part of that solution is obviously floor paint, but he can go and talk around all the other stuff around that.
That is a great example, isn't it? The job to be done isn't to just paint the floor of the garage. The job to be done is actually to create this like uber cool garage with, you know, amazing cool, you know, workshop and great tools everywhere, and therefore I'm going to follow these guys because that's what I want. And then they bring out this you know, this really great floor paint. Obviously I'm going to buy from them.
Yeah, you know, because you talk to the job to be done, you say, well, so, you know, this is why we've designed the floor paint, because it doesn't smell afterwards. So you're not working in a, you know, an area that smells, you know, all the time when you're doing a lot of your work. And, you know, if you drop something on the floor, it's going to be, you know, maybe you should go for this. And, you know, it becomes
and you can
a different
bring
discussion.
In this content. You can bring in this content on the product page as well. So if people do land on the product page from Google Shopping, you bring in that onto the product page, so that you're automatically bringing in the content, the user generated content, into those pages. Simply, for example, I mean, one simple example is you're bringing in the Instagram posts that have been tagged for that product.
Yeah,
you can see this is how people are using the.
The next step is then to build a community around your mission. So
absolutely,
you know, like those four
steps.
So
first of all, define the mission.
Yeah. Well, first of all, add yourself to the website.
We need an acronym for this.
We do. Well, let's just go through it. So, add yourself to the website. Create the story around the about us. So, there's that story. Find the mission for the job to be done, and then build a community around it. So, there's like four. There's kind of like four steps to it. Yeah. And, you know, anybody that's ever tried to, I mean, there'll be a lot of people listening to this going, well, it sounds great, but how do I actually create a community? And the thing is about it is that when I've started communities all over the place, and take this podcast, for example, when you first start doing it, you feel like it's a complete waste of time. because you're interacting, you're putting a lot of effort into it, and it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere, because, you know, you do a first podcast episode and you have 3 downloads and you're like, oh, well, that was worth it.
And that was me, you and my dad.
Yeah, exactly. And he was criticizing us, saying it was rubbish.
He did. He said Mark was better than me.
Yeah, it took you about 4 weeks to get over that.
He did.
But it's like a snowball. You start with a very tiny snowball and you consistently put effort into it. And I think whenever you're trying to create a platform, you should pick something that you can do with regularity. So, you know, like this podcast, for example, works because Ian and I have a set time each week where we just talk, we record it, and I've got rid of all of the friction around recording a podcast. I don't do the editing, I don't do the publishing, I don't do the emailing of it. That's all done by someone else. So that all I have to do is turn up to Ian and decide the
topic. Probably because we don't actually edit it. We just republish it.
But what I mean is,
yeah,
is
that
the reason we've been successful with this is because we've done it with regularity and we haven't even had to think about it. And so, you know, we obviously know our mission, which is to help people, you know, create a successful e-commerce stores and do that for ourselves and learn the best things we can. And that kind of, you know, ties into then we decide, well, what's the platform going to be? Well, the platform is going to be a podcast, or the platform is going to be a YouTube channel.
Mm.
You know, it's something that I know that I can record and deliver and do for a long, long period of time.
I think the key to understand is understanding the job to be done, not the product itself.
That
really helps you create that tone of voice and that mission.
So take
a business. So, you know, take some
dress website. Dress website. You know, it's not about the dress. It's about the feeling that the dress is going to give you on the night out, the confidence and the kind of compliments that you want to get and the photographs you're going to get afterwards, which is this whole thing where it's like it becomes.
Or
this,
take a business. You know, take an online business selling, you know, pots and pans for your kitchen. You know, it's not about cooking the bacon. It's about providing an amazing Sunday roast for the family.
Yeah,
you know, and everyone
in the easiest
that.
Way possible, without the hassle of like, God, now I've got to clean up and everything's stuck to the pan. You know, it's like the whole job is like making that process.
And once you understand that, once you actually get into that job to be done, then your message and your platform just becomes effortless. It's just so obvious.
Mm.
It's really easy then to do it, and then you've got this herd, and it's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like. But, you know, SEO, okay, say, oh, I want to become top for SEO. It's not a tick in the box thing. You can't just give this to an agency to go do your Instagram or do your Facebook. You've got to really understand, the same way you can't just go and expect an agency to get you to position one for, you know, for men's trousers, you know. It isn't going to happen. You've got to really understand the business and what you're doing, and it's really good. You've got to own it from within.
Yeah, and I think part of that then kind of says, well, you're trying to be the community is when you're trying to build these communities, you can get a lot more growth from them if you are riding a wave. So let's take where Jamie Oliver was doing all this like. 30-minute meals, 15-minute meals, and there was, you know, that was a big, big thing. If you were selling cookware at the time, you would then, you know, and you know everybody was watching that on television every Saturday or every Friday, whenever it was, you can get part of that conversation and start talking about the equipment that you've got, and maybe you could repeat the recipes in your own equipment and say, well, we found this really good, but not this, you know? Mm. You start being part of the conversation that people are already having. So, you know, there's always something on Netflix that's trending. You know, there's like those tidying up programs. And if you're to do with home decor, you can go watch this program. This is what I did. You know, like you can get involved in that. And therefore your community can grow because people go, oh, well, actually, yeah, it's all very well and saying do this. But how do I physically do that? How do I buy those products? How can I create that look? you know.
Well, so what you're basically saying is make sure the job to, you make sure it's a lot easier if the job to be done is something that's actually on trend that people resonate with naturally.
Well, there's always something trending in the job to be done. You know, if like, even if like garages, there'll be some work, you know, there'll be some National Geographic program or Discovery program or something where someone's doing like pimping out their garage or something like that. There's always something in your niche or market.
And you'll find, that whatever period people are in life, you know, they'll have stages of life that they'll then become following. They'll follow you. So I'm moving house now. We're moving house. And it's now at this stage in life, we're starting to follow people and get into the community for things that we're interested in. But in 6 months' time, we'll be, you know, I'll be doing kite surfing, and I want to go and follow the kite surfer guy who's telling me about doing that. And so, you know, you'll start, you know, you won't get everyone forever, you know, but you'll have people for you know, whatever they're interested in.
Well, once you've got the job to be done, your job to be done is moving house at the moment, but you don't just want to move house. You want to move house in the easiest way. You want to see how people have done it better. And also, when you move house, you want to move into a better house. You want to have in a better environment. You want to move into something else. So you aren't just moving house. The job to be done is actually to kind of go, oh, I want to get rid of all my crap. I want everything to be look good. It's like I'm building a garage in the back garden, well, an office in the back garden. And when I move over there, I don't want to move my desk over there with all my crappy wires and all the screens that don't kind of fit together and all that stuff. I want it to be better. I want to move over there and be cleaner and have a vision for it. So the job to be done becomes about uplifting and elevating what you've got.
So you're not just plonking product on your website and going, oh, there it is. There's the product. Buy it.
Yeah.
You have to change this into elevating it into an experience. I mean, it's easier. It's, you know, obviously if it's a desirable product, if it's a lifestyle, emotional product, then, you know, you can do that through increasing the desirability. But if it's a problem solving product, but I think the example you gave that was really good was the garage floor paint. You know, that's something that, you know, you could understand. But if it is a really rational problem solving product, like, okay, you know, a car battery, going back to the example that we all give, which is such a rational distressed purchase. You know, it is different, isn't it? And it's, you know, it,
well, I think there's always the job to be done with the car battery. You know, you could go and you could think that, and you can elevate it. You could go, well, people who are buying a car battery are in a position where the car battery has dipped. So you'd say, well, the upsell maybe is something set on it.
But you're not going to go join a community, are you, for car battery? I love car batteries.
No, but there's still a job to be done there to think about. Where, you know, maybe create a community around it, but you could actually, you know,
I think. You can agitate the pain.
You can agitate the pain, and you can say, well, our battery does this, and it's going to warn you that it's, you know, it is, and
people are very distressed when they come onto the websites. They don't want to mess around. They want to make sure it's the right product. They've got, you know, literally a couple of hours to get the bloody thing sorted. So therefore, you need to reassure people that they're in the right place. Make sure it's the right one. Make sure, you know, it's going to come next day, guaranteed. You know, make sure there's a bloody, you know, great big offer that's going to run out. Price match promise, so don't go anywhere else. You know,
it's those become like almost instant communities, like almost like a waiting room. When you're, you know, like say, let's say you're on a flight, and then. Let's say you're in Bermuda. I'm going to get crazy. You're in Bermuda and you're about to get on a flight and it gets cancelled and you're in a little airport. And then there's a group of you, maybe 25 of you, that suddenly form an instant community because you're all in the same situation. So in that case, with the car battery, you've suddenly gone into like one of those instant communities where there's like 25 of you all have the same problem and you have the car battery. And therefore, you start talking to each other, you start understanding each other, but you're only in that community. But for the time when you have that need, as soon as you get on the flight and it's done, that community's over, isn't it?
Should happen. When you land on the website, you should go, oh my God, thank God I found this website. You know, I'm definitely going to solve my problem here. You know, I can see that there's other people just like me who have benefited from this website. Yeah, I don't need to go anywhere else. This is it. I'm going to find it.
Yeah. You're like a fixer. You're like the fixer that comes into the airport where people have got the flight and you're going, okay, we've got another flight.
Yeah, I know you're worried about this. Don't worry
about it. Here's a food voucher.
And you go, oh, thank God for that. Yeah, I've solved this problem. You know, so there's no concerns. There's no stress. You take all the anxiety away. You know, if they're worried about, is it in stock? Is it guaranteed next day delivery? Yeah, it is. Oh, thank God for that. Is it guaranteed to fit my car? Yeah, great. Solve that problem.
And look at all these other people. This is what we do. Don't worry. We're in the same situation. We've done this for loads, thousands of people before. Look at what happened to these guys. You don't have to worry because we've done this, this, and this. And this is what happened. And these are all the stories.
Mr. Wolf and so, from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, you're coming in and you're solving that. So, you know, if you've got a very rational purchase where it's very specific to a specific time, you have to understand, that's what you've got to do. Whereas if you've got you know, the thing is, both those businesses can lead themselves to long lifetime customer value because people sell, you know, say you're saying car parts, people find themselves in those instant waiting room kind of situations for their car parts quite often, you know, like they have to do an MOT or a WAF or whatever, you know, equivalent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're in those waiting rooms maybe once, twice, three times a year. And they go, well, when I'm in this situation, I always call in Ian.
Ian
sorts it out for me.
They trust you. And why take the risk by going, I know it's going to come. And, you know, I trust them. I'll go back to them. Cause, I mean, that's actually very important, isn't it? A lifetime customer value is quite important for a community. If you're going to bother to build a community, you have to really try to understand that it should be an element of loyalty there.
Yeah, the same thing with Zoe. Like when she wants to do something with a house, she'll go, oh, I wonder if that site has got that design has got anything for this solution, because now I'm doing the bedroom up, or now I'm going to redo the attic, and wonder what ideas they had for that. So it's about becoming
interesting. Sorry to interrupt, but what I think is quite interesting is that, you know, we always knew that, you know, if we were selling a table lamp or something, or a cushion or a rug, you know, one particular product, you know, we would know that that customer was in their mode or phase of life for the next 3 months was doing up their house. You know, so we knew that they were fair game to then sell other stuff to. Whereas in 6 months' time or a year's time, they're not in that phase of life anymore. Because they've done that house up, they're now bothered about, I don't know, tarmac and drive, going on holiday, going on, you know, buying a car, whatever. But but what they did by buying one product off us, they identified themselves as being in that mode, that time. And so they were very, very responsive to buying other things. So that's why we would hit them hard with email within that first month, 2-3 months. Because we knew that if we didn't email them hard then, they were not going to buy in 8 months' time or a year's time because there's something else in their life that they're focusing on. So they're in that mode, you know, and I think that's really, really important that when somebody's bought something off you, they are hyper-responsive often to buy other things because you know that's what they're interested in there and then. So it's a real, really key time. You know, you talk about lifetime customer value. Yeah, we need to get it from 1 to 2 twice a year. But actually, the most easiest time to often get the lifetime customer value up, to double it, is in the first, you know, week or 30 days after they've just bought something. And that's absolutely crucial to understand, isn't it? Hit them hard, fast. And then you can double, you can get your lifetime customer value from 1 to 2. You've doubled your revenue. So, and it's in the first, it's, you know, if they don't buy often within the first, you know, month or two after, they're never going to buy again.
What's even more interesting is like the instant, the post-purchase upsells. It's like buying again, literally the second after they've just bought with a one-click upsell. And, I've seen sometimes they take up of the upsell of 70%. You know, it's like, it's just
phenomenal,
insane.
Isn't it? Phenomenal. It's just,
yeah, and you can get it right, and you can change
all your
metrics.
There's no risk at all. Exactly. No. You know, I mean, what would you classify that as, an average order value booster or a lifetime customer value? Because technically, it's an AOV booster, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably an AOV booster, really, because, you know, they're in the same transaction, really, aren't they? They are. To be honest, it doesn't really matter. You're getting more money.
Yeah.
You're still like paying the same amount for your traffic.
So, well, I think it's a good point now around the community that, you know, I remember when we tested sending a post-purchase follow-up email. So, you know, after you've bought something, and we tested that post-purchase follow-up, it had an offer, very simple, you know, offer, you know, thanks for buying, you know, we love you, welcome to the club, here's a, you know, 25% offer on your next order. Mm-hmm. And we tested that, and it was 4 weeks after purchase, tested conversion rate, tested it 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week. So I were making it closer and closer to when they just purchased. And each time we moved that post-purchase email follow-up to closer to the purchase date, the conversion rate went up. Mm-hmm. We went literally an hour after the order confirmation email mm-hmm. sent. And that was the optimum time. And the conversion rate went up. So it's like,
I think we eventually actually sent it with the confirmation email. There was one that went out with it that we
it a separate email. But it
shows it was a separate email.
You know that whatever the, you know, if they buy something from you, they've identified themselves as being in that moment in life. You know, the job to be done is to, you know, you want to make your office, garden office, amazing. You know, or you want to make your garage amazing, or you want to make you want to feel good with a new suit or whatever it might be. So you're hyper responsive. So
I tell you what, a good tip is, let's say you want to create a Facebook group around, not a Facebook page, but a Facebook group around your job to be done, is to invite people to join on the order thank you page, because you can then say, okay, you've bought this stuff, why don't you join our Facebook group, which is all about achieving the job to be done, whatever your job to be done is. So if you garage floor plane, so here's, join our Facebook group about creating an amazing garage, you know, and how to apply everything like that. Yeah. So you can bring people into that community straight away. And to actually, be honest, that's what we do with the book. Because this is because I've been watching this lady in the coaching group. What she does, she brings people into the group. And then everybody in the group who actually buys one of her products, they then like put pictures on it and show people and say, this is what I got and this got. So it's almost like going into like a testimonial group where people
it's trust and credibility, isn't it?
Okay, Ian, anything so we can talk about community and about us and we just stuff. Well, why don't you just kind of briefly wrap up the main points and then we'll
call it a night. Well, in summary, you have to understand the job to be done, and you know, start that on your own site with the history and the personality and the reason why you exist and the mission you're trying to solve, the whole entity. And the job to be done is very much around, you know, not the product you're selling, but what they're going to use that product for. That then needs to be extended into the platforms around it. And I think you'll find then that the metrics that we're looking at here is an improved conversion rate, because you're warming up the traffic and they're coming with a much further intent to buy. The trust and credibility is then done off site, so to speak. And when they actually get there, then you're helping them actually. They're already further down the buying cycle. So I think that's really interesting. I reckon we need to do another couple of podcasts around this, because I think it's something that's quite important.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's about it. Yeah. Summary.
Awesome. Well, if everybody hasn't bought a copy of our book, you can go over to www.ecommercebook.co.uk. Or if you're in other countries, which I know that some of you are now, you can go to book.hammersleybrothers.com. So it's like on a subdomain. So book.hammersleybrothers.com, and you can buy it in US dollars as well. So either of those will get you our exciting book, and you'll get started with our community as well. You'll get onto the Facebook group, and we can start helping you. So thank you very much, guys. Look forward to speaking to everybody next week.